Chapter 66. Friends and Friendship. A good friend and companion is the greatest gift of God. In adversity, a friend only is the refuge for a person and solace for his heart and soul. In this world, that is full of hardships and hurdles, presence of a true friend is absolutely necessary for every individual. One who doesn't have any friend will be like a person, all alone, away from home. He will not have anyone to commiserate with him in the times of need. Imam Musa ibn Ja'far al-Sadiq, peace be upon him, was asked what is the ideal source for comfort in this world. The Imam replied, an airy house and plenty of friends. Imam Ali, peace be upon him, says the weakest person is one who cannot make anyone his friend and brother. Not having friends is like being a stranger in one's own land and being a loner. As the grown-ups need friends, the children too want friends and companions. A child who doesn't have friends will always be lonely and forlorn. The child, by nature, needs a friend and companion. He cannot be denied this natural need. There is also a subtle difference between a friend and acquaintance. Perhaps, a child may have acquaintances but no friends. Sometimes a child selects a friend from his class fellows and the children in his neighborhood. The cause for picking up a particular person as a friend may not be evident. Perhaps the spiritual similarity between the two has brought them together. The Commander of the Faithful, Imam Ali, peace be upon him, says, "The hearts of people are like migrant nomads; whosoever loves them, they are attached to him. A friend cannot be thrust on anyone. The parents cannot very much restrict the child to accept particular persons as friends. The child must be free to make his own choice of friends. But this freedom will be with some conditions and restrictions. The character and conduct of the friends will have to be observed by the parents before they permit the child to pick a friend. If a child selects a courteous and polite friend, he will definitely benefit by picking up his good habits. To the contrary, if the friend has undesirable habits, then, naturally, the child will take to some of his bad habits. There are plenty of children and youths fallen into the morass of sin because of indiscreetly selecting bad friends. The Prophet of Islam Muhammad, peace be upon him and his progeny, has said, a man follows the faith, ways and habits of his friend. Imam Ali, peace be upon him, the Commander of the Faithful, says, the most fortunate are those who have connections with good people. This is the reason the religion of Islam exhorts its peoples to abstain from bad company. Imam Ali, peace be upon him, said, avoid making friendship with transgressors and sinning persons because evil creates evil. Imam Zainul Abidin, peace be upon him, told to his son, Imam Muhammad al-Barqa, peace be upon him, O my son, avoid acquaintance of five type of persons. 1. Don't be friends with a liar. He will be like a mirage. He will trick you. When a thing is far, he will say it is near, and when it is at hand, he will say that it is very far. 2. Don't make a transgressor and sinner your friend because he might sell you for as low a price. 3. Don't make a parsimonious and stingy person your friend who may not help you in times of need. 4. Don't make a stupid person your friend, lest he bring harm to you with his stupidity. It is possible that with all good intentions, he might bring harm to you with his foolish actions. 5. Don't befriend with those who deprive their kin of their rights. Such persons are shown as blessings and are accursed people. Responsible and thoughtful parents will not be totally unconcerned with the type of friends their children cultivate. While the parents must know the type of friends a child has, they should not appear to be interfering in their personal matters. If the parents can provide a good friend to their child, they have made a great contribution to his virtuous future. But this is not such an easy task. The best way is to acquaint the child with what is good, and what is not, when he comes to the age of understanding. They should explain to the child the defects that might be there in undesirable friends. The parents must keep a subtle watch over the activities of the child and his friends from a distance. If they find that the friends are good, they must appreciate them. They should create opportunities for the child to meet such friends. But if they notice that the child has picked up an undesirable acquaintance, then they should discreetly try to cut this friendship short. If the child persists in such friendship, deal with the matter strictly. The parents can help the child in making good friends by another method. They should pick children in their neighborhood with good behavior, character, and background. Create opportunities for the children to meet and react with one another. If they become friends, encourage them to cement the friendship. This way, even if there are some minor defects in their own child, they can be warded off in the company of good children. For example, if a child is timid, he might overcome his timidity by being friends with a bold and courageous child. The parents should not be totally oblivious of the type of friends their child has, particularly when the child is on the threshold of youth. This will be the period in his life when habits take root. Any negligence on the part of the parents might result in irreparable harm to the character and conduct of the child, if he persists to be in bad company. They should remember the dictum, "Prevention is better than cure." Imam Ali, peace be upon him, the commander of the faithful, says, "For everything there is a calamity, and for virtue the calamity is a bad friend." One gentleman writes, "My parents never permitted me to meet my friends. If sometimes friends visited me, I tried to send them away quickly after talking with them for a while. One friend of mine used to live very near our home. My parents knew him well but never allowed us to visit each other. I used to wish to have friends meet them, chat and play with them. But my parents were the impediment. I was very sad about this. One day I had decided to visit my friend. Whatever came, I told my mom that I had to go for my exams. I took permission for going to attend the examination, but, in fact, I made a beeline to my friend's house. This friend's house was at a little distance from our home. I boarded an omnibus and reached his place. There were other children too at my friend's place. We had lots of fun together. When I returned home in the evening, mom asked me why I was so late. To hide one lie, I had to utter another. Now I wonder if mom was not aware that the children too need friends and companions. Why did they restrict me so much?" One girl writes, "Once I invited some friends home. I had some savings from my pocket money. With this money I ran to the neighborhood grocery and bought a pack of ice cream. My mother was away visiting some people. While my friends were eating the ice cream, mom returned home. I was very scared that she might scold me. She didn't bother a bit about my feelings and said angrily to my friends, 'You girls are making Saima waste her money.' My friends abruptly went away. My mom didn't stop at this. She visited my school the next day and complained to our class teacher that my friends visit our home and encourage me to waste my money. She told the teacher that the girls visited a day earlier and asked me to buy ice cream for them. My friends, who were also my class fellows, said, 'Auntie, we shall pay you the price of the ice cream we ate at your home yesterday.' I felt so ashamed and belittled that I wished the earth went asunder and I fell into the abyss. Ever since that day, I had never gone to the school. All my friends progressed in their studies. Today I am a forlorn and lonely person, lagging behind in all walks of life." Chapter 67. The Child and Theological Education. The human beings are instinctively attracted towards God and religion. The fountainhead of this instinct is the human nature. Allah says in the Holy Book, "Then set thou thy face uprightly for the right religion, in natural devotion to the truth, following the nature caused by God in which He hath made the people," Quran 30:30. Every child, by nature, is a worshipper of God, but the influence of the external environment might bring about change in this condition, as the Prophet of Islam Muhammad, peace be upon him and his progeny, has said, Every child is born with Islamic nature, but later on the parents might make him a Jew, a Christian, or a Zoroastrian. It is the responsibility of the parents to give birth to their child in such an environment that the naturally endowed instinct of religion in him is properly nourished. The day a child comes into this world, he is attracted towards the power that will provide him his needs. But the child will not have his understanding developed to an extent to express anything about the focus of its attention. But, in stages, the understanding dawns on the child. A child, who gets his upbringing in a religious family, starts recognizing Allah from around the age of 4 years. This is the age when different questions start cropping up in the mind of a child. Sometimes he utters the name of Allah. His questions indicate that his nature is awake and is keen to gather more and more information. The child thinks about, who made the sun? Who has created the moon and the stars? Does Allah love me? Does Allah like sweet things? Who brings the rain? Who gave birth to Dad? Is Allah listening to our talk? Can we talk with Allah over the phone? Where does Allah live? How is his face? Does Allah live in the skies? From the age of 4 years, the child starts to think of thousands of such questions. It is evident from these questions that the instinct of godliness is awakening in the child. By asking these questions, he tries to quench his thirst for knowledge. It is not known, at that tender age, what opinion the child has of Allah. He perhaps thinks that Allah is like his dad, but is definitely bigger and more powerful. As the child grows, his understanding of Allah too grows. The parents shoulder a big responsibility at this stage. They have to play a very critical role in shaping the beliefs of their child. If the parents are a little negligent at this stage, then they will be subject to heavy retribution on the Day of Judgment. They must try to carefully answer all the questions their little child asks. If they avoid answering the questions for some reason, they might cause the extinction of the child's urge for discovery. But it may not be easy to answer all the questions of the child. The answers shall have to be correct, short, and narrated in simple words. As the child grows, he will become capable of understanding more difficult information. The parents will have to prepare themselves to reply to the probable questions that the child might ask them. They should not give to the child any information that might be beyond his comprehension. Such answers might confuse the child instead of quenching his thirst for knowledge. The theological education of the child should be such that he is able to grasp with ease. Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq, peace be upon him, says, "When the child is 3 years old, teach him to say La ilaha illallah, there is no God, but Allah. Then leave him alone. When he is 3 years, 7 months and 20 days, teach him to say Muhammad ar-Rasul Allah, Muhammad is the Prophet of Islam, Muhammad peace be upon him and his progeny. Leave him alone till he completes 4 years of age. Now teach him to say the salawat, the praises of the Prophet of Islam Muhammad, peace be upon him and his progeny. Make the children learn to recite simple couplets about religious matters. This will be an interesting exercise for them. Then teach them about the Nubuwwat, the prophethood, and Imamat, the vicegerency. First the child must be told about the Prophet of Islam Muhammad, peace be upon him and his progeny. That he has been sent by Allah for the guidance of mankind. Then they must be told about the Prophet's superior qualities and his exemplary way of life. Narrate to the child some interesting events of the Prophet's life. Then the child must be told about the vicegerents of the Prophet of Islam Muhammad, peace be upon him and his progeny, for the continuity of the correct guidance of his people after him. All this information should be conveyed to the child in the form of short narrations to retain his continued interest. About Qiyamah, the doomsday, a child does not give early attention. He thinks that he and his parents will live happily forever. Talking to a child about death at that tender age may not be desirable. The child thinks that the people who died have gone on a long journey. Sometimes tragedies do take place in the families while the children are still small. In these circumstances, the parents have to discreetly broach the subject of death with them. If, unfortunately, the child's grandpa is dead, he might ask, "Mom, where did grandpa go?" In such situations, the facts must be explained to the child. The child can be told that his grandparent is no more. He has gone to the other world. Everyone who dies goes to that world. If he were a good person in this life, he would rest in the heaven where there are beautiful gardens. If the person who has died was a bad person in this life, he would go to the hell which is full of fire. The child should be informed about the inevitability of death slowly. He must be told that this life is transient and everyone has to go to the other world. This informal instruction of the religious knowledge should continue till the child completes his primary, middle and higher levels of schooling. Chapter 68. The child and the religious duties. It is true that the boys attain the age of responsibility, balig, at 15 and the girls at age 9. This is the age when the juridical norms become mandatory for them. But the performance of religious duties may not be postponed till the child reaches the age of responsibility. They must be encouraged to perform the religious duties from early childhood so that when they become compulsory, they would already be in the habit of fulfilling them. Fortunately, in families of religious people, a child starts to emulate its parents performing the religious rites. Sometimes he spreads the prayer carpet for the parents, sometimes he puts down his head to the ground in supplication with the parent. He repeats Allah O Akbar, God is great, and La ilaha illallah with his parents. He will recite small religious couplets with his mother. The thoughtful parents make good use of this natural instinct of the child to emulate. If a child does these things, the parents give him a smile of appreciation. There should not be an element of force in making the child learn the religious rites. The parents should not start formal teaching of the religious rites in early childhood. At the age of 5, the child can learn to recite the Surah Fatiha, the opening of the Holy Quran. This has to be done slowly in several days to keep the interest of the child in learning to do the recitation. At the age of 7, the child should be asked to offer regular prayers. The parents should themselves set an example to the child by offering all the 5 prayers, regularly and punctually, at their appointed times. At the age of 9 years, make it binding on the children to offer regular prayers. They should explain to the children that the prayers are mandatory when they are home and also when they travel. If the child abstains from praying, the parents should deal with him strictly. If the parents are themselves regular at offering their prayers, they can easily make the children habituated of following suit. When the children reach the age of responsibility, they will already be regular at offering the mandatory prayers. If the parents take the excuse that the child is still too small, and they would teach him to pray when he comes of age, then it would be very difficult to initiate the child into regular prayers. It is a common belief that old habits are difficult to change. This is the reason that the Prophet of Islam Muhammad, peace be upon him and his progeny and the holy Imams have asked the parents to initiate the children to offer prayers from the 6 or 7 years of age. Imam Muhammad al-Barqa, peace be upon him, says, "We encourage our children start praying from the age of 5 years and at 7 years we order them to pray 5 times a day regularly." The Prophet of Islam Muhammad, peace be upon him and his progeny, has said, "When your children are 6 years old, order them to offer the prayers. When they are 7, ask them more strictly to be regular at prayers. If necessary, they must be punished if they don't become regular in their prayers." Imam Muhammad al-Barqa, peace be upon him, or Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq, peace be upon him, has said, "When the child is 7 years old, then ask him to wash his face, the feet and the hands before offering prayers. But when he is 9 years old, teach him the correct method of doing the wudu, the mandatory ablutions prior to offering prayers. This is the time when the child is strictly instructed to offer regular prayers. Imam Jafar al-Sadiq, peace be upon him, says, when a child is 6 years old, then it is necessary he learns to offer prayers, and if he is physically capable, he must also be encouraged to fast during the month of Ramadan. The child should be initiated slowly to fasting during Ramadan. A child who is physically fit for fasting should be woken up at the time of Sahur, the meal before sunrise, so that he eats at this time instead of the breakfast at the regular morning times. If the child is keen to fast the whole day, encourage him to complete it. But, if during the day, the child feels uneasy, he may be permitted to break his fast before time. The number of fasts by the child may be increased gradually. When the child reaches the age of understanding, he must be instructed that offering regular prayers 5 times a day and fasting on all days during the month of Ramadan is mandatory. If he is irregular in his compliance of these, he would be a sinner and liable to punishment by God. The parents must explain to the child the advantages and the rewards of fasting during Ramadan. This will give more courage to the child to do the fasting. During the last days of Ramadan, make other duties lighter for the child. He must be allowed more hours of rest during the day. At the end of the fasting period, the child must be given some gift as an encouragement for his efforts. During the fasting period, the parents should take care that the children don't try to eat something hidden from others' view. It is necessary for the parents to instruct the children at the proper time about the wet dreams they get at puberty. They must be instructed about doing the ghusl, the mandatory cleansing bath after having an emission, and istinja, the washing of the genitals with water after urinating. It is necessary to remind here that if they wish their children to be regular visitors to the mosques and religious symposia, then they must put them into the habit from their childhood. They should take them to the mosque and the places of religious discourses. These visits will create interest in the children for going to the congregations. In the end, it will not be out of place to remind that before reaching the age of understanding, it is not mandatory on the child to observe the compulsory religious rites. If he is unable to perform certain rites at certain times, he is not committing any transgression. But it will not be proper for the parents to leave the children totally independent to do whatever they wish to. The child must be told that if in his innocence he causes any physical or bodily harm to others, he shall have to pay the deeth, the fine for harming others, when he reaches the age of understanding. On the other hand, if the child is left free without any checks whatsoever, he might get into the habit of committing sins and wrong acts. The dictum is, old habits die hard. The habits cultivated during the childhood remain with the person, however much one tries to banish them. Therefore, it is necessary for the parents to instruct the children about the dos and don'ts from their very early days. They must stop them from doing taboo acts and encourage them to do good deeds. Chapter 69. Political and Social Thinking. Today's children are the youth of tomorrow. They will run the affairs of the society in the future. Their awareness and understanding of the political compulsions of the country will be of great importance. They will be the keepers of the cultural and economic wealth of the nations. They will have to strive maintaining and advancing the greatness of their homeland. They will have to face the imperialist aggressors and fight against their machinations. The children should therefore be groomed from their early days to be ready to serve their country. The greatest responsibility will rest on the shoulders of the parents to groom their children properly. The foundation for the political and sociological training has also to be laid in the childhood of a person. By the time a child reaches the stage of youth, he should be aware of the social and political problems of the community in which he lives. He should be made aware of the poverty and backwardness rampant in his country. The good qualities and failings of the rulers of the day have to be informed to the child who is on the threshold of youth. They should be told about the lacunae in the running of the society. He should know the general conditions prevailing in the towns and the countryside. The child may still not have the adult franchise and he cannot cast his vote. But the parents must explain to him the purpose of the election and the conduct thereof. They should also explain to him as to how to select the best candidate from the list of persons contesting in that area. The parents must give the child their own example that they voted for a particular candidate because of certain qualities he has. The child can attend the election meetings and processions. He can join in raising slogans. He may distribute leaflets of the candidate he thinks is deserving of being elected. This work will give boost to his awareness. The Iranian Revolution has proved that the children and youth can contribute meaningfully in the political process of a country. They were the youth who, with their slogans, meetings, protests and active participation, made the oppressive regime surrender. They relieved the oppressed people of Iran from the clutches of the agents of the tyrannical Shah's minions. The world knows that the Iranian Revolution succeeded because of the supreme sacrifices made by the youth of the nation. It is necessary that the children study the political situation of their country, in particular, and of the world, in general. They can do this by cultivating the habit of reading a good newspaper every day. They can also watch and listen to the news bulletins on the television and the radio. They can also have group discussions with their parents and friends. This way they can develop interest in the welfare of their countrymen and themselves. This process will help the child develop good political and social awareness. The future of the country, no doubt, will be in their hands and the hands of myriad other youths of the land. The children should know that the worldly life cannot be separated from the hereafter, and, similarly, the faith from the political process also could never be separated. The youth of the country should be actively associated with the political and social happenings of the country. The youth must be given more freedom of choice to participate in the political process of the nation. Chapter 70. The Child and the Radio and Television. The radio, television, and cinema are very useful inventions. They can be very good tools for training and education. The tenets of faith and moral values can be propagated through these media. The thoughts of the people can be sharpened by means of these mediums. Information on agricultural and industrial developments could be disseminated through them. Awareness on the aspects of health and sanitation can be popularized through these media. Man can derive innumerable benefits from the electronic media. But while they have advantages, they have many disadvantages for the society too. When these media fall into the hands of irresponsible profiteers, they can put them to wrong use and create tremendous problems for the society. For their personal benefit, they present programs which are harmful to the health, morals, faith, and the general economy of the society. Radio and television are very widely and intensively used these days. Most people consider them only as a source of entertainment and recreation. The children and youth are literally addicted to the idiot box. Knowledgeable people are of opinion that the Iranian children are much more addicted to the television than the children in the developed countries like America, France, Great Britain, and Japan. In Iran, 40% television viewers are children, 20% youth, and the rest adults. It must be remembered that the childhood and youth are the prime time for education and learning. Whether the radio and television programs are good or bad, they will have impact on the impressionable minds of the children. Watching these programs should not be considered as harmless pastime. The child should not be given freedom to watch or listen to all the programs of his choice. Many programs will definitely be harmful to the psyche of the child. The producers of the television and radio programs should do introspection about the damage they are causing to the delicate minds of the children by presenting shows that are very harmful for the children and youth. For them, it may be the freedom of expression that drives them to their irresponsible act, but for the children and the youth, viewing these shows with keen interest, it will be sheer damnation. The parents too are responsible that they must keep a careful watch over their children's viewing of the television shows and stop them from watching bad programs. A major part of the television programming will consist of movies and serials dealing with stories of crime, horror, murder, fights, cheating, robbery, etc. The children watch such programs with great interest. These stories can be harmful to the children in many ways. For example, the impressionable and delicate minds of the children are very proactive to outside influences. Watching such shows, the children may develop restlessness, fear, and horror in their minds. They may have disturbed sleep in the nights and get up shouting after seeing bad dreams. They may start getting chronic headaches. In extreme cases, on watching the horror movies, they may swoon and fall unconscious. There can be very damaging effects of such movies on the morals of the children who watch them. These movies can motivate the children to commitment of crime and sins. Sometimes the children are so much impressed with the bravado of the hero of the movie that they try to emulate him in real life and land into trouble. UNESCO has recorded in one of its reports that 27% of youth convicted for crimes were motivated for the act after watching similar acts in the movies. In the United States of America, amongst the juvenile criminals convicted by the courts, 10% of the boys and 25% of the girls have confessed to have drawn their motivation for the crimes from the movies they had watched. According to another survey, 49% of criminals caught carrying illegal firearms commit, 28% of those who commit burglaries and 21% of acts of running away from the law derived inspiration from what they have watched in the movies. It is also reported that 25% of women who take to street walking have taken inspiration from the movies showing such stories. 54% of women have gone into houses of ill repute in emulation of famous cinema actresses. Professor Walksman of the University of Los Angeles says, "The radiation coming out of the television screen is very harmful for the human organs. The rays coming out of the television and other household electronic appliances are of the short-wave variety, and the first ill effect is that they cause headaches to those who are exposed to them for longer spells. The thinking capacity of the person will be curbed, the blood pressure will become abnormal, and the white corpuscles in the blood will be affected. These waves will have a lot of impact on the nerves and cause several illnesses." Dr. Alexis Carl writes, "The radio, television, and inappropriate computer games destroy the emotions of the children. The Daily Italy Its issue number 15743 reports about a European student. Thus, a college student aged 18 years was arrested and produced in the court. He is accused of kidnapping the son of a film actor and demanding for a ransom of $50,000 and threatened to kill the child if the ransom money was not paid to him. In his statement to the court, the accused confessed that the thought of committing the act came to his mind on watching a movie on the televisions depicting a similar act. The police is of opinion that several such instances have come to their notice that the youths get motivated to commit crimes on watching movies on the television. A 10-year-old boy in Mashhad, after watching a karate show on the television, kicked his friend so hard that boy collapsed instantaneously and died." The Deputy Minister for Education and Training, Mr. Safi Niyar, says, "When the television is there to effectively provide evil lessons, the best of teachers cannot do anything. One Cuban boy, Ronnie Zamora, murdered a 83-year-old woman. He did this crime in Florida, and is now serving a life sentence in a jail there. His parents have sued three American television channels for damages to the tune of $2,500,000. He has produced evidence that the child had learnt about manslaughter from the television programs. Last September there was a hearing of the case in the court when it was mentioned that when the child was small he was very fond of watching television and used to sit in front of it for 8 hours at a stretch. A night before the crime, the youth watched a movie on the television where robbery at a rich woman's house was depicted. A pretty girl of 15 years, whose name was Raziah, watched a horror movie on the television. She was so horrified watching the movie that she fell down dead on the ground. When she saw in the movie that a white person was scalping the skin of the head of a black girl in the movie, she shouted in horror and had sudden cardiac arrest. The doctors said that she had a brain hemorrhage." Dr. Jalal Behmani, an expert in psychiatry, says, the horror and adventure movies have a negative impact on the minds of the children. It is noticed that a child watching a film depicting violent acts tried to imitate the hero and beats his brother or sister. Such movies can have a very negative effect on the future personality of the child. Watching horror movies, the children become timid and cowardly. Violent movies motivate them to become violent themselves. The effects of these exposures will be there in the minds of the persons, and they might themselves get motivated to commit violent acts. Another psychiatrist, Dr. Shukrala Tarikati, says, "The effects of watching bad movies on the minds of children cannot be denied. These movies have such negative effect on the children that when they grow into adults, they might themselves commit wrong acts under the influence of the movies they had seen long ago. I therefore advise the parents not to allow their children to see such bad movies. They should take particular care to see that the children don't watch movies made and certified to be watched by adults only. They should ensure that the children don't watch any movies shown on the television after 10 p.m. These are generally adult movies." A professor of the Tehran University, and criminologist, Dr. Reza Mazlumi, says, "Most of the movies shown on the television and cinema houses are harmful for our society. Their effects are so dangerous that watching a movie, a girl lost her life due to cardiac arrest, seeing a horrible scene. I can put it boldly that most of the crimes and acts of terror in this world are directly related to the effects of watching movies." Dr. Arnold Frimani, who works in a hospital at New York, has proved with advanced electronic gadgets that the migraine headaches and nervous weaknesses in persons are due to listening to blaring music on the FM radio stations. The newspaper, The Times, in one of its issues of 1964 writes, "A pediatric doctor made observations at two Air Force bases that the children of the staff in the age group of 3 to 12 years continuously complained of headaches, sleeplessness, insomnia and tummy troubles like diarrhea. Medically, they were not able to establish any cause for the symptoms. After a detailed investigation, it was established that the children spend long hours in front of the television screens. The doctors recommended that the children should be stopped from watching the television. This regime was effective, that the complaints like headaches, nausea, vomiting and diarrhea in the children had tapered off. The thoughtful parents who love their children should not allow them to watch television for long hours, particularly in the nights. They should allow them to watch only such programs that are not harmful to their spirit and mind."